Blessings and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven, who died for our sin and redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, blessed is, cursed is anyone who hangs on the tree. But we've received redemption from him hanging on that tree. And in this season, I don't usually do the Christmas message type thing, but I started last week, not necessarily doing a Christmas message, but a covenant message, which is the message. I had a time to think about what we shared last week in covenant and the price God paid for our redemption. And I had a question before God, and that question was, like, I understand the theory and I understand the conversation, but what did you really pay? And what I meant by that was not that he didn't pay anything, but like, you're God, right? So anything that you put up on my behalf or anything you did, you ain't sweating that. Let me see if I could put it in plain English, right? That we can all relate to. And let's be honest. Let's be honest. Can we be honest? If God says to me, I want you to give up your home, your this, your that, your wealth, your whatever for me, we feel that. We'll make the decision or not to do it, but we're going to feel that. Asking God to give up anything, he ain't feeling it. You know what I'm saying? There ain't no sacrifice necessarily. You know, you understand what I'm saying now? Like, dude, whatever, right? My son passed away. I can't bring him back. Your son passed away. You can raise him from the dead on the third day, the fourth day, whatever day you want. So what did you really suffer? Honestly, like what did you really feel? What really was the sacrifice for you, knowing you got nothing to lose, right? And I sat with that. I know that's a weird question to ask, but me and God talk like that. But now that I have asked the question, are any of you kind of going, that's a good point? It sounds like a good point, or it sounds like I went a little Kwame on this and just went, because Kwame go to them places, right? Kwame goes to them places. And I'm going to tell on you, Kwame, because this is funny. You don't mind me sharing it, right? So he called me up the other day. He said, Pop, I got this deep idea, this thought. And I was like, okay. And he was going into a dog. It's like supposed to be man's best friend, right? So dog is God spelled backwards. So do you think that's a stop? The original language was not English and they weren't called dog. So it doesn't apply, right? And we just laughed. We just got a big laugh out of it. But like, we have a perspective, right? That's to us that makes sense in our circle, in our realm, in our world, and in our ability to understand. So even though we laughed at that, Kwame, my question is just as probably funny to God as your question. Like, but you ain't feel no pain. Like, what you really like sacrifice. You already knew what you could do. And as I sat with it, it didn't come clear to me immediately. But as I walked, when I say sat with, I didn't sit there. Like I went on with my life and just moving around, and it just. You know, does that ever happen to you? And throughout the day or through the course of the day or whatever, God begins to reveal to you, either you're sitting somewhere, you're driving, you could be doing anything, you'd be in the shower. And then God just begins to reveal. And he said, the pain to sacrifice somebody who had done no wrong for someone who had done everything wrong. To make my son go through something that he didn't deserve to go through. That's an anguish. To watch him take on the sins of the world when he had committed no sin. That's an anguish that you, he said, you kind of understand losing your son. He said, because the first thing you said was, and it was, I said, God, there's so many kids out here, Christian, ain't even trying to live for you. They ain't doing that. The leaders, the whatever, the whole family living like, and their kid ain't dying. Like, why mine? So he said, you felt that pain of, did he deserve that? Like this whole question. And he said, so the question is, the sins of the world on someone who's done no wrong. The anguish and the pain and the suffering that belonged to someone. Now, he said, never mind the whole thing when they took him and beat him and striped, nailed him on the cross. And he said, all that is the physical stuff. But literally the anguish of the reward for sin and torment for those 3 days that he was in the pit suffering. The torment due and belonging to mankind when he had done nothing wrong. Then he reminded me of the train ride that I shared with you guys not too long ago, where the train pulled into the pit. And as soon as it pulled into the pit, even before the doors opened, I felt every anguish a man could feel or emotion and began crying at the top of my lungs out to God. And I thought about that. I said, wow, he took 3 days of that. What does it feel like for a righteous and holy God to put himself in the form of man in the midst of the evil, the torment, the anguish that belonged to us? And I said, okay. Thank you for sharing that with me and opening my eyes to that. I will share it with the family. So it took me back to where we were last week. He said, now you have a different perspective to read this from. You read it from the perspective of covenant. Now you get to read it from the perspective of sacrifice. So in Isaiah, my God, thank you, Lord, 53. And starting at verse 1, give you a second to get there. Who has believed and trusted in and relied upon and clung to our message of that which was revealed to us? And to whom is the arm of the Lord disclosed? I'm reading out the Amplified or revealed. For a servant of God, he grew up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, worthy or kindly or prompt, that we should look to him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pain and acquainted with grief and sickness. And like one from whom men hid their faces, and he was despised. And we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. This is the spirit of the Almighty God, the Son of the Almighty God, taking on a form to not be accepted, but to be rejected. Who, as a parent or aunt or uncle or godparent who loves their child, would dress or place their children in a way to intentionally be rejected and despised and humiliated and spoken against and hated and, you know, who would make a choice to package someone they love in such a form making him beautiful and gorgeous and hair flowing and all of that stuff would have been real easy for people to embrace. And God was 100% capable of doing that. But he chose to package his baby in a form that would be rejected or not even beautiful to the sight. And I can understand that because if you're handsome or good looking, it's real easy to gain followers than it is if you're not so much. And we know that, whether we want to admit it or not, we know that. That's why the ladies get all dolled up before they get on their social media, because they know people are going to respond to them different if they look hot versus if they just come on there looking like they just woke up. We know that. So God packaged our Savior, his son, in a way that would be unappealing and still yet had to appeal to us all. So, I saw that and I said, wow, you made a choice to make somebody reject it. So before I go to the next verse, the next verse goes to, surely he bore our griefs. Well, now I understand that from before the cross, you ever been rejected, you ever been despised, you ever been humiliated, you ever been, looked upon as not what, even by yourself or somebody else, is not desirable. He took that form so that he can feel what the least of us feel. I need you to take this into your heart because it's serious. He took the form because he needed to feel what the person on the lowest end of the lowest end would feel. So I was looking at somebody's comment online, and I was talking to somebody, and they was talking about the image of Christ and how they, that it is not the right portrayal of him because he was from another place and his skin would have been darker or olive, and all these guys are usually more white and whatever. I said, you're missing a very important point. He was unattractive. And I've never seen a movie version or any kind of version of an ugly Jesus ever. I never saw that, right? You think about it, right? That Jesus is cute. All the women want to follow him around. But this is not what the word says he looked like. And I understand now why he looks like that, because that means don't make a difference if you're ugly or cute. He can feel what you felt. And he came to be the savior for the pretty and the ugly, right? And that, my dear, is powerful. He had to cross the gambit of love and acceptance from every angle of it. So for all you gorgeous people here on this on the screen, he loved you, and he loved people that look way worse than you. And that is a God that cares about every aspect and facet of your life. Now it makes sense to me why he didn't hang with the royalty, but he hung with the common everyday worker and the, what everybody would consider the loser, and all of his disciples and stuff was a ragtag bunch of people that the elite wouldn't have anything to do with. Why am I making this point? Because it speaks to me that when I was at my lowest of how I viewed myself or my life, he died for me. He came for me. From the bottom of the bottom to the top of the top, he came for me. And that, men and women of God, is huge. So let me go on. I don't have a lot to read today, but this is the message of messages. He came for me. That's the title. He came for me. Let's read this again. He was despised and rejected, forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pain, and acquainted with grief and sickness. And like one from whom men would hide their faces. Are you listening? He was despised. Now, people try to argue that was when he was on the cross. It doesn't say that. And this is written before the cross. So, and yet we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. But surely he bore our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pain of punishment. Yet we arrogantly and ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if he had leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being was upon him. And with his stripes that wounded him, we are, not were, are healed and made whole. So when I say, God, what actually was your sacrifice, or what was your pain? It's like, I had him bear your griefs, sicknesses, weakness, distresses, sorrow, and the punishment that belongs to you as sinners. And that was one of the most horrifying, and if you could say, painful things to have to endure on behalf of mankind. So God really gave more than a life for a life. Any situation or circumstance that could potentially afflict you, he considered on that journey. He considered in that package. And there's nothing, I don't care if I get a Christmas present or don't get a Christmas present, acknowledging this lets me know that day was about a present that has nothing to do with physical, emotional, or mental three-dimensional stuff. But it goes deep, deep, deep into the realm of the spirit. And there's not a pain or a question that I can be concerned about that wasn't covered on that day. Merry Christmas.